Most of us think of the 11th of September 2001 and our minds turn to New York City. Who could ever forget the images of the burning towers and their collapse? And most of those who died in the attacks that day died at Ground Zero, but others died in Pennsylvania, and more than 100 more victims were in the Pentagon, across the river from Washington, D.C., which was also hit by an airliner. Stephen Sademan was at the Pentagon that day. He's a political science professor at McGill University and the Canada Research Chair in International Security and Ethnic Conflict. Good morning, Professor Sademan.
Good morning, Mike.
First of all, why were you at the Pentagon on September the 11th, 2001?
I had a fellowship that puts academics into policymaking positions and policymakers into academic positions. So I was working on the joint staff's Bosnia desk.
So you were actually working in the building?
I was working in the building that day, yes.
How did that morning unfold for you?
As any normal morning, I got there real early, around 6 o'clock in the morning, went through the news of the day that I had to then brief the folks, the colonel above me, so that way he could brief the colonel above him and so forth. And then I guess it was around 9 o'clock, somebody walks in the office and says, turn on the TV, and we see New York. We see the first tower burning.
What was going on in that room? I mean, you were with the defense staff. Did they think it was an attack or an accident?
The colonel who came in was an Air Force colonel, and he had a strong belief immediately that it must have been terrorism because he could see that the skies were otherwise clear, and he understood that the flight lanes would not put planes anywhere close to the building by accident.
So what did that mean for the mood where you were?
The mood was pretty shocked and somber.
Shocked and somber, but seeing as how you were at the center of the American defense establishment, were they thinking of what to do? Were people talking about what to do?
I think it was too early at that point. They were just so surprised and to see the damage, and then caught up in the events. We saw the second plane hit, and so that
you saw again, that on television.
We saw that on television. So we reacted to that. I don't think we were thinking response at that point in time.
And at that point, what did the colonel with the Air Force who was with you say?
It was very clear that it was terrorism. Mm. It couldn't be anything else at that point.
So the Pentagon was soon to become a target itself. What happened next?
Well, for me, I had a meeting across the river in Washington, D.C. at the State Department. And so two Army officers and myself got into a shuttle. They are shuttles that run between the buildings, like sort of the airport. And we were literally on the bridge over the Potomac River at the time that the Pentagon got hit. I don't remember hearing something, but I turned back and looked, and I saw smoke rising in the air. And I asked the colonel that I was working with, was that Roslyn, a neighborhood in D.C. or in Virginia, and he said, no, that must have been the Pentagon. So I got at my cell phone, I called my wife, and I said, don't worry about me, I'm okay. And she was puzzled because she knew I wasn't in New York. And I said, no, the Pentagon must have just gotten hit.
Did you go back to the Pentagon?
Eventually. We made it across the river into Washington. Our meeting was canceled. They were evacuating the building. And it was particularly alarming because there was reports of a car bomb. We could hear on the radio there was a car bomb at the State Department, but we were there and there was no car bomb. But the shuttle bus driver eventually got us back across the river, which was somewhat of an adventure, and dropped us off on the other side of the building. And so we walked around the building away from the side that got hit, but towards the side where our office was. The people in my office actually didn't feel a thing when the plane hit. It was directly on the opposite side of the building. It wasn't one of these towers where shocks reverberate. It was a building made almost entirely of concrete because it was made during World War II when they didn't have much in the way of steel to put into the building. So it was almost largely concrete, made these concentric rings also are separate. And so that, and the wedges are a little bit separate. There's five different sort of sides to the building. And so that sort of absorbed the shock and sent it into the air as opposed to through the rest of the building.
So what were people saying when you got back to the Pentagon and the building had actually been hit by a passenger jet?
At that point in time, it still wasn't clear to us what it had been hit by. We went into the Pentagon to drop off some classified documents. Everybody else was already evacuated. So we went in, dropped off the documents, came back out, and we went across the highway. There's a highway that's right next to the Pentagon, and there's this bridge, and at the other end of the bridge is was the gym and the child care center. And so parents are coming up looking for their kids at that point in time, not knowing what was going on, and the kids had already been evacuated.
It all sounds, you know, when you recount it, and I realize that, you know, it's years later, it all sounds very calm when you recount it. I remember very clearly being at the World Service headquarters of the BBC and having quite a few friends in Washington for having worked there for a while, and just my heart pounding, and then all these crazy rumors about how the White House was being targeted. I think there was a rumor at one point that the Capitol had been hit. Were you not exposed to that sort of thing?
While we were on the shuttle, we heard some of that. Once we got on the ground, we were pretty much back to being completely clueless as to what was going on. The Army officers around me were very calm. I guess I got sort of affected by that. I was pretty calm.
I mean, the reality of things is that you were under attack. Did you feel under attack?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it felt like at that moment the United States was at war. It was just a matter of figuring out where and when the response would go. But at that point in time, we knew that the Pentagon, when I went to work at the Pentagon, I intellectually thought and imagined that, yeah, this is a target.
What are your thoughts today, 6 years later?
I guess 6 years later, I find myself very frustrated that while the U.S., I think, did the right thing in taking down the Taliban and pursuing al-Qaeda, I feel very frustrated in that all of opportunities were lost, that we've become diverted and distracted by a different war that wasn't really a response to the events of 9/11. We gained a lot of goodwill that day, and a lot of the world was willing to support us in our efforts and did support us in Afghanistan, as Canada continues to do today. But I feel very frustrated as an American to see all that political capital tossed aside by this administration.
Stephen Sademan, thank you very much for coming in today to tell us about it.
Thanks, Mike.
Stephen Sademan, he's a political science professor at McGill University, the Canada Research Chair in International Security and Ethnic Conflict. And he'll be one of the speakers at l'Université de Montréal's 3-day conference on the war in Afghanistan. A lot of people are coming to this, by the way, from right across Canada. We keep hearing about the interesting people who are going to show up, including, of course, the foreign minister and several members of Canada's defense staff. And as well, Daybreak and CBC Radio 1 is going to be part of it. And we're going to invite you to come be a part of this conference, which normally you might not be invited to, but we're holding a public forum, and it's on Canada's role in Afghanistan. It's a Thursday week, so a week from Thursday on the 20th of September, and doesn't cost a thing to come. It's between 6 and 7 in the evening. You just have to register, and I'm going to give you a phone number, but you can also go to our website and find how to register there. So do give us a call on this number. It's 1-866-717-6177 if you want to come and discuss the issues, the big issues Afghanistan is presenting to us here in Quebec, particularly now that so many Quebec troops are there. 1-866-717-6177. And as well, our website is cbc.ca/Montreal, and just go to the Daybreak page, and I'll give you those numbers again. So keep listening to Daybreak.